G'day, this is Pastor Les Gomes from Transformers Christian Church. It's our desire that the message you're about to hear encourages you and helps you identify some valuable insights about your life and situation. As you listen to this message, it's really important that you think about how you can put what you learn into action. The only way you're going to see your life transformed is by putting the things you've learned to work. The Bible says we need to hear the word and also do it. Now, let's get into today's message.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Well, if you have a Bible, have a look at Proverbs chapter 18. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 21. Give me an oi when you're there. So just before we read it, I want to read out to you an article that was online. And it says, what we say to ourselves has a direct impact on our success or failure. Plenty of research indicates positive self-talk creates positive results. Now, an analysis of 32 different studies of self-talk in sports indicates that the specific words we use when talking to ourselves also play a role in how well we perform. Positive self-talk usually consists of words or brief phrases which inspire, motivate, or remind us to focus and keep moving. Phrases like, keep your head down, let's go now, breathe, they help us focus our attention and trigger the ideal, well hopefully ideal, response and action for the task at hand. If you want to improve your technique or hone specific precise skills, you'll be better off with inner voices relaying technical reminders like elbow up or head down, says sports psychologist Antonis Hetzigiadis, who conducted the study with colleagues at the University of Thessaly. Their findings will be published in Perspectives on Psychological Science. And this was taken from a website called Psychology Today. What's interesting about it is they're talking about how the research is indicating that positive self-talk has a benefit, you know, or whether it's positive or negative, it has an impact, you know. And now they're talking about there's 32 different studies, and this guy's been collating all the data from that, and this is what they're finding. But, you know, they could have read the Word of God, and they could have got that insight way earlier than that. I mean, thousands and thousands of years ago, even I think it was about 1,000 years before Christ, I think Solomon was living then, and he wrote in Proverbs what we're going to read. And it says in Proverbs 18:21, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. So it's not new, even though they think it's pretty exciting and new. And in fact, it's even by today's standards, it's not entirely new, because, I mean, You could get onto Amazon and do a search for positive self-talk and stuff and find book after book after book on it. But I want you to understand the book talked about it when these people weren't even a thought in their parents' minds. Hey. And the book tells us that death and life are in the power of the tongue. Hey, and I want to talk to you about the power of the tongue this morning. I'm going to talk with an emphasis on healing. In fact, over the next couple of weeks, I'm going to be doing an emphasis on healing and looking at different issues with regard. But, I mean, really, you could use this stuff in any area of life. And so, just to understand, that's the thing that God's really put on my heart. You know, the New Living Translation says of Proverbs 18, verse 21, it says, the tongue can bring death or life. Those who love to talk will reap the consequences. The New Century Version says, what you say can mean life or death. Those who speak with care will be rewarded. There's power in the words that you speak. Particularly if you start to believe what you say. You know, there's some people that go to an extreme with this. You know, they'll say, well, you better watch out. You know, like, you better watch what you say, brother. You know, like, and I do agree with the general principle. But, like, let's not get religious about it. Do you understand? I think it is important to watch what you say. Hey. But it's not what you say that counts. It's when you believe what you say. Remember the scripture says, if you confess with your mouth and you believe in your heart. Right? So that's when it's really dangerous and really powerful. Hey, is when you start saying things and you start believing it. And the danger is if you're saying things that you know are not true, but you just keep saying it, there's a danger that you can start believing what you're saying and then it starts working in your life. You know, the world that we live in fact, this entire universe was made by God to respond to faith-filled words. This entire universe was made like that. He designed it like that. And I'll prove it to you. Have a look at Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1, give me an oi when you're there. Verse 3. We're going to read a few scriptures here because I want you to see a pattern here. It says, then God said, notice it says God said, then God said, let there be light. And what happened? There was light. Wow. He didn't turn around to the angels and go, Michael, it worked. He said, and there was light. Now skip down a few verses to verse 9. Then God said, let the waters under the heavens be gathered together into one place and let the dry land appear. And it was so. Verse 11, then God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb that yields seed and the fruit tree that yields fruit according to its kind, whose seed is in itself on the earth. And it was so. And the earth brought forth grass, the herb that yields seed according to its kind, and the tree that yields fruit, whose seed is in itself according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. Verse 14. Then God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and seasons and for days and years, and let them be for lights in the firmament of the heavens to give light on the earth. And it was so. Verse 20. Then God said, let the waters abound with abundance of living creatures and let the birds fly above the earth across the face of the firmament of the heavens. So God created the great sea creatures and every living thing that moves with which the waters abounded according to their kind and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. Verse 24, then God said, let the earth bring forth the living creature according to its kind, cattle and creeping thing and beasts of the earth, each according to its kind, and it was so. And God made the beasts of the earth according to its kind, cattle according to its kind, and everything that creeps on the earth according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. I remember as a young Christian reading Genesis 1, thinking like, man, this is repetitive. Couldn't he have just kind of said, God said, you know, and everything was created? Like, why did he keep saying this? You have to understand, God doesn't waste his breath. Every word of God is pure. Every word of God is tried and tested and proven to be true and perfect. Why did God spend this whole chapter? And I remember after the first time I read it, I would just skip over it. If I was reading through Genesis, I'd just go, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Okay, skip that and go down to where he created man and then keep going. Because I felt like it's just so repetitive. You have to ask yourself, why did God do that? I'll tell you why. He was trying to demonstrate this universe was made to respond to faith-filled words. Why else would he do it? If it didn't have some sort of impact on us, that it wasn't going to somehow influence us and get us to think about it, why talk about it? And then, I'll show you, like I'll point out a couple of things since you opened there at Genesis 1. Notice it said, you know, so often we read, God said and it was so, God said and it was so, God said. But there were several occasions, like in verse, 11 and 12, it says, God said it was so and God saw that it was good. And then you go on into verse 20 and 21, God said, let the waters abound, and then the waters abounded, and then it says, and God saw that it was good. Verse 24 and 25, God said, and it was so, and God saw that it was good. He spoke, it was so, and he saw it. Too many people are saying what they see instead of saying in order to see. God set the pattern. Say it. And it becomes so. And then you'll see what you say. That's why there's this repetition, is he wants us to understand there's a pattern here. This universe was made to respond to faith-filled words. When Jesus came and he walked the earth, his earthly ministry, isn't that what he demonstrated? I just wrote down some of the things that just came to my mind of things that he did. When they were caught in the storm, they were crossing the lake. They woke him. They said, "Don't you care? We're going to drown." He got up and he spoke to the wind and the waves. And it was so. He spoke to the fig tree when it didn't have fruit. He spoke to deaf ears and commanded them to be open. He spoke to dead bodies, commanded them to wake up. He cast out evil spirits, people said, with a word. He spoke to lepers and he cleansed them. He spoke to paralytics and told them, get up. Do you notice in all of those things, and I know they'll be coming to your mind as I'm mentioning them, you'll never read like it says Jesus got out his bag of special angel dust and he sprinkled it. And people said, look, I can see gold in my hands. Gold dust. Wow. Or he didn't get out some bottle. He goes, mate, this is my special death sauce, son of God sauce, eh? This will kill any disease. Here, drink some of this. No, all he did was he spoke. Is that right? He spoke. Why? Because there's a pattern here. God spoke and it was so. Jesus spoke and it was so. And they're trying to demonstrate this universe was made to respond to faith-filled words. I know some people will be hearing what I'm saying and they'll be going, yeah, but that was Jesus and that's God. But then why did Jesus at the end of his ministry say, the things I've done you can do also? And even greater things than these can you do? Why didn't he say, boys, don't try this when you get home, hey? Unless you're the son of God like me, there's no way you can do this. No, he said, boys, you can do even greater things than these if you just believe. The pattern that Jesus was demonstrating is the same pattern we see in Genesis. You speak the desired result. In most of the cases where you see Jesus ministering, healing to people, he didn't even pray for them. He didn't say, God, please, if it be your will, do something. God, please comfort them in their time of need. That's what you hear religious people say. We need to pattern ourselves on Jesus. He needs to be the template that we move after. And too many people are afraid to step out of the boat and speak the desired result. And the reason is because they're thinking, well, what if it doesn't work? Well, guess what? It probably won't for you. But if you start meditating on these truths that I'm talking about and you see that the scripture shows clearly God said and it was so and he saw that it was good. Jesus spoke and the universe responded and then he said to his disciples, you can do it too. And that becomes a greater reality. Then you can start stepping out of the boat. You can start speaking and expecting results. I used to be so fearful of praying for people, hey, ministering healing. Especially if they weren't Christians. That fear is completely gone. I look for opportunities. That doesn't mean I go and pray for every non-Christian I can find, because you want to let the Holy Spirit lead you. But I'm looking for his leading. I want to. I got nothing to lose. Neither have you. What's the worst that can happen? Nothing. What's the best that can happen? They could get healed. It's awesome, hey. I know what it's like to be fearful about, well, what if something, nothing happens? Man, God, I'm going to look so stupid and stuff. And it just stops you. And, you know, fear is just like that, isn't it? It just ties you up. It binds you and you're unable to do anything. Don't live a life of fear. You've been set free. But allow these truths to become so big that you don't care about the opinions of man. You just want to be a minister of God. And bring liberty and bring deliverance. I remember what it was like when I would be so fearful. And I'd go, all right, God, I'll do it. You know, I'd feel like so, and I'd go and do it and nothing would happen. I'd go, see, didn't I tell you? I told you. Guess what? I was getting what I was saying. But when this truth began to settle in my heart and I thought, wow, God, this is amazing. I began to look for opportunities and guess what? I started to see more and more success. I don't have a 100% track record, hey, but my success rate is far greater now than what it was a year ago, 2 years ago, and back then it was greater than what it was a couple of years earlier. I love it. Just prayed for someone just a couple of weeks ago. They were experiencing severe migraines. They were on codeine. I prayed for them. I asked them, do you know, are you in pain right now? And they said, yep. They said, I've got one right now. I said, what is it out of 10? They said, 8 out of 10. Prayed for her. It went completely. And then I saw her a couple of weeks later and she said, guess what? She said, I used to take 24 codeine a week. She said, I'm down to 2. Now, I want to see her off the 2. But I'll tell you what, I'm not going to complain to go down from 24 to 2. What would have happened if I just said, oh, well, what if nothing happens? I better not do anything. This universe was made to respond to faith-filled words. Allow your heart to marinate in the truth of what God says. And then it'll get bigger and bigger in your eyes and soon you'll start to have a greater confidence and expectation. You know there's power in your words, hey? Power to alter the course of your life. In fact, what you're experiencing right now and what I'm experiencing right now, what we're all experiencing, is the fruit of what you've been saying and believing over the last couple of years. I've seen my life improve more and more and more. And I understand it's not just because I got lucky. There have been things that I've said about myself, things I think about myself. And so even with you, if there's things in your life that you're not happy about and you're frustrated about, you need to consider, well, what have you been thinking and what have you been saying? Because what we say about ourselves determines the course of our life. That Proverb 18:21, I want to read it to you from the New International Reader's Version. It says, your tongue has the power of life and death. Those who love to talk will eat the fruit of their words. Your tongue has the power of life and death. What have you been saying about yourself? What have you been thinking about yourself? The Message translation of the same scripture, it says, words kill, words give life. They're either poison or fruit. You choose. Ain't that the truth? We can choose. This is so exciting. To me, this is exciting news. We can choose what we want to believe. I've heard some people say, well, you know, I'm not going to believe unless you can give me evidence. You don't need any evidence to believe. You can just make a choice. When Jairus' daughter had died and they came to him and they said, don't worry about getting Jesus any longer. It's too late. She's dead. And Jesus said, don't be afraid, only believe. Jairus had no evidence. In fact, all the evidence he had was to suggest she's dead, it's too late. But he chose to believe the words of the master. You don't need evidence. You just need to make a choice. You can choose to believe what God says or you can choose to disbelieve it. You don't need it. You don't need the evidence. In fact, really, if you can see it, you don't need faith. Faith your faith only flows when you cannot see it. I love that. I remember one time I had pinched a nerve and I went to the hospital and they said, you're going to be bedridden for 6 weeks. And I said to Joy, when they walked away, I said, I'm not going to be in bed for 6 weeks. I said, you believe with me. I said, I'm out of this bed in a week. Well, I was out of bed in 8 days. Actually, I was back at work in 8 days. I was out of bed probably in about 6 days, but I went back to work in about 8 days. But what I remember clearly was the night that I came home, the pain was so intense, I just thought, I don't know how I'm going to manage. I honestly didn't know. It was like an 11 out of 10 for me anyway. It was just like, I don't think I'm going to get a wink of sleep. I don't know how I'm going to manage. How am I going to get through the day? And you know, like sometimes when you're in a really desperate situation, the enemy wants you to think this will never change. And so I'm trying to picture like, how am I going to get through the days, let alone just this night? And then suddenly I was reminded that faith, Hebrews 11 and verse 1 says, faith is the evidence of what you don't see. And I thought, and I started to laugh. Not because I felt better. I started to laugh because I couldn't feel any better. And I was choosing to believe that healing was working in me. And if you choose to believe when there's no evidence in the natural, that's when your faith has to rise and has to flow. That's why I was laughing. I thought, yes, my faith's working right now because I can't feel a thing. And I started to laugh. I just said, you're gone, devil. You can't stop the healing. It's working in my body right now. And the next morning, I was significantly better. I still had a lot of pain. I remember they'd given me these extra strong painkillers. And the next morning, she said to me, how are you? And I said, well, I'm a lot better. I said, but I don't think these painkillers are doing anything. So I stopped taking them. Then I realized they were working. So I started taking them again. But within 6 to 7 days, I was out of bed and I was moving around and doing things. But some people say, well, why didn't God just heal you instantly? That was his desire. If God had his way in your life and in mine, you wouldn't even get a symptom. It'll be like that. I'll prove it to you. I'll do it. It's just a simple, easy way of knowing. Would you want your child to be sick? If it was in your power for your child to not be sick, if it was in your power, if you could decide how long they stayed sick for, how long would it be? It wouldn't be. It'd just be like, or even if there was something, it'd be, but you'd rather, it's like, I don't even want them to feel anything. And God, and Jesus said, if you being evil know how to do good to your children, how much more? How much more does your Father in heaven? So why didn't God heal me straight away? If he had his way, I would have been healed instantly. I'm still learning, and so are you. And the more we allow him to have his way in our life, the more we'll find healing will flow at a greater rate and recovery will come. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ, the head of the church, appeared to Kenneth E. Hagin on a number of occasions, but this one that I'm speaking of here, he was speaking to Kenneth Hagin about this issue, about speaking, about our words. And this is what he said. He said, positive or negative, it is up to the individual. According to what the individual says, that shall he receive. And then Hagin was writing a little bit further, and he said, if you confess sickness, it'll develop sickness in your system. If you talk about your doubts and fears, they'll grow and become stronger. If you confess lack of finances, it will stop the money from coming in. What am I trying to say? I'm trying to say what you say about yourself will alter the course of your life. There was a man who was sentenced and imprisoned. And when he was in prison, he became born again. I heard Kenneth talking about this. This guy became born again. And as he began to read the word, he realized he was forgiven. And that revelation grew on him more and more. And soon he just began to walk around saying, I'm an innocent man. I'm an innocent man. And all the inmates would laugh at him and go, buddy, everybody in here is innocent. And he goes, no, you don't understand. I'm an innocent man. I don't belong in here. I'm innocent. And some people would challenge him and they say, are you trying to say you didn't commit a crime? He goes, oh, no, I committed a crime. He goes, but I've just found out I've been forgiven. And it's just as if I never ever did it. I'm an innocent man. Innocent men don't belong in here. And they would just laugh at him like, man, we don't know what you're drinking and what you're eating, but You're just in some other world. Soon it started getting, not just started irritating some of the inmates, it started irritating some of the warders, the guards. And one of them came to him and said, "Mate, what do you keep going on about? You're innocent, you don't belong in here. There's no way you're going to get out of here. You've got a prison sentence and you've got a minimum of so many years before they'll even consider you for parole." And he just smiled, looked at him and goes, "I'm an innocent man. I don't belong here." And this guy said, "Listen, the only way you can get out of prison is if there is a special legislative sitting of the assembly and they repeal the law." And he just smiled at him because I don't know what they need to do, but I just know I don't belong here. I'm an innocent man. Well, the next month, there was a special legislative sitting of the assembly and they repealed the law and the guy was released from prison in less than a year. The words you say can alter the course of your life, hey? And so don't just say what you see. Start seeing and then saying. See with the eyes of faith. See the desire that you have. See the promise of God coming to pass, whether it's in your family, whether it's in your body, whether it's in your finances. Look, look, look. Don't keep looking at the physical. That's where people get tripped up. Is they're looking at the physical. They're looking at their bodies. They're looking at what they're feeling. They're looking at their bank account. Don't look with your physical eyes. Look with your eyes of faith. But Pastor Les, what if I don't feel any better? What do I say? What if I've got pain in my body? What do I say? What if I don't look better? What if I don't feel better? What do I say? You're not saying you look better. You're not saying you feel better. You're saying you are better. Because that's what God says. It says, by his wounds, you were healed. So that's what you say. If people say, "Man, you don't look any better," you can just say, "I didn't say I look any better, but I'm healed." What are you doing? You're just getting in agreement with God. Well, do you feel any better? "Oh, I didn't say anything about what I felt. I don't want to talk about what I feel. I'm just saying that he heals all my diseases. I'm healed." You know, speak to your body. You know, there's many, many times I'll say, "Body, you know, if I had to ask you how you're feeling, you'd be telling me you feel rotten. I'm not asking you. I'm telling you you're healed. I'm telling you you're strong. I'm telling you you can do whatever I desire for you to do." Hey, man, how many people just allow their bodies to just dictate to them what they're going to do through the day? Oh, I could preach on that. That's so important, hey? Remember Nessie, Nat's mum, Nessie Stevens, she came and she was sharing just at Christmas time. She had fallen and she'd had multiple fractures in her wrist. So they went to the hospital, they did the x-rays and they said, you know, the doctor said, "Well, we're going to have to put this in a cast." They said, "You're going to have to go see a specialist." So she went and saw a specialist and he said, "Look, here's the long and short of it." He said, "You will never regain full use of your wrist. We're going to try to do an operation and we may be able to get a percentage of use back. But you're going to be in pain and because the fractures and the nature of the fractures is basically you're never going to recover from this." What do you do when you're in a situation like that? Depends who your eyes are on, isn't it? If your hope is in the doctors, well, guess what? Your hopes have been dashed then, if that's what you get. And I'm not trying to put doctors down. Doctors are doing the best job that they can. But doctors don't have all the answers. Hands up if you've discovered that. They don't have all the answers. And doctors should not say things like, "This is impossible," or "This is inoperable." Doctors should not say that, hey, because they're putting themselves in the place of God. They can say, "Look, there's nothing I can do." That's fine. They can say, "There's nothing I know that can help you." That's fine. But don't put yourself in the place of God that this will never, ever repair, that this is permanent, You're cutting out the God factor. And if you hear a doctor say something like that to you, you should cut them off and say, no, I want you to stop. I'm not having that. This is important. What you allow to come in can come into your heart, and then you'll start meditating on it, and the devil will cause it to replay in your mind and your imagination, and soon it becomes bigger than life itself, where you have this expectancy. Because they've told you, yep, after 3 months, this is what's going to happen. After 6 months, this is what's going to happen. And this is what's going to happen in the long term. And you're expecting these things. You need to cut them off. Just say, listen, I appreciate what you're saying, but I don't want to hear that. It doesn't matter if you look like a fool. They said to Nessie, you're going to have permanent damage here. We're going to try to operate, and you may get partial use of your wrist at the best, but you will be constantly in pain and you will not have full function of your wrist. She looked that expert, that specialist, in the eye, and she held her wrist up. She said, take a good look. She goes, because you're going to see this wrist and it's going to be completely well, because my God's going to do what you can't do. And she wasn't trying to be rude. She had a conviction. In her eyes, in her imagination, in her heart, God, this is nothing. This is so simple. And it was several months later, she had another appointment with the specialist. They took some scans and they had a look at it and they were astounded. She was completely healed and she had complete use of her wrist with zero pain. Your words can alter the course of your life. But you need to say what you see with the eyes of faith instead of saying what you see just in your own natural. Hallelujah. You know, I've heard people say things like this to me. They've said, but Pastor Les, I'm just finding it so hard to ignore what I see. It's just the pain just gets to me and I don't know what to do. I understand that, hey. I understand, particularly if you're in pain, particularly if it's impeding you in doing things properly, it can seem really big. But there are things that you can do, hey. What do you do if you're finding it difficult to look past a certain thing that you see or feel? Well, let me tell you firstly what that is an indicator of. And I've been there, so I'm not trying to preach at anyone, right? But I understand some principles of how to get past that, right? If you're finding that your body is just screaming at you, or your circumstances are screaming at you, and it's hard for you to get past that and look past that, what it means is that the Word of God has not taken root in your life. Remember, Jesus said, these are they who are sown on the stony places, that when the seed is sown, immediately it springs up, but when pressure comes, they wither because they have no root. It means you have not allowed the word, the promise of God, to take root. And so you read it and you go, yes, yes, this is great. And then pressure comes and your body's saying, it's not great, nothing's happening, and then you start to wither. What do you do in a situation like that? You start spending time in the Word and allowing those promises that God has given you to be before your eyes, before your ears, to be in your mouth. These are the gates to your heart. Your mouth, your ears, your eyes, they are the gates to get into your heart. And you need it to get into your heart, because what's in your heart right now is what you're feeling. And as you spend time and you use your imagination, you find that promise of God. It could be that He heals all of our diseases. And just use your imagination and say, what would that look like? What would that look like if that word was working in my life right now? And allow yourself to imagine what that would look like, and then allow yourself to feel what that would feel like. I've heard people say, well, you're just using mind games. The devil uses mind games with you every day. And on lies. He'll tell you, you ain't going to make it. You're not forgiven. And it's all right. It's all right for you to allow those mind games to play out. What's wrong with playing mind games with the Word and the truth? Instead of just meditating on his lies, just saying, No way. The truth says, by his wounds I've been healed. I'm going to use some mind games and play games with the truth and see that. And ask yourself, what would it look like if this was real? And just allow yourself to imagine yourself moving freely or doing things that before you couldn't do. And then just talk to yourself, what would it feel like? Wow, that means I wouldn't have any pain. And just begin to glorify God. I'm talking about how do you combat it when your body or your circumstances are screaming out and it's hard to get past. You allow the Word of God to get big in your view. And you meditate on it. When you use your imagination, you're meditating. And you meditate on it, and then the Word begins to take root. And it grows down. And then it starts to grow up. And it bears fruit. So if it's the Word of healing, it'll bear the fruit of healing. If it's the Word of prosperity, it'll bear the fruit of prosperity. And it just works in your life. I've heard some people say, yeah, but you know, why does it take so long? Why aren't I healed yet? I mean, brother so-and-so, like, I mean, they just pray, they got healed straight away. Why is it taking me so long? Why is it so difficult? I guess this is something that a lot of Christians struggle with this idea of like, man, why doesn't it just happen? Like, just get it over with, get it done. And I think this is a major reason it becomes a stumbling block for some. Just understand what, and I want to say some things about this, but understand this: you ain't waiting for God. You're not waiting for God to heal you. You're not waiting for God to provide for you. You're not waiting for God to protect you. All of these things are done. As far as God's concerned, it's all done. Hey. And so you need to sort that in your mind. God, I'm not waiting for you. So what is the issue with these delays and why does it take so long? Hey, the question isn't why is it taking so long? That's not the real question. The real question is, what are you going to do if it does take long? See, if you believed in your heart that it was a done deal, you wouldn't care how long it took. You just knew this is inevitable. When my nerve was pinched and I was sitting there in excruciating pain and I got that revelation of faith and I realized I can't feel anything except pain, but I believe I'm healed, I knew my faith was working. As far as I was concerned, the timing was just inevitable. The healing was working. See, if you believe in your heart that you're healed, you don't care about the time. Of course, you'd rather have it quick than taking a long time, but the time is not an issue because you just realize this is inevitable. Devil can't stop it. The world can't stop it. No one can stop it. God's already done it, and I agree with him. The real problem, particularly with delays in manifestation, is a confidence level. Hey, it's not the only reason. There can be a number of different reasons why there's delays, but I want you to understand God is not the one that's delaying. It's usually something that we're not cooperating with him about. But this area of confidence is one of the major things I've seen in my own life, and I've seen it in others as well. You don't have confidence that what you say will come to pass. If you had confidence that what you said would happen, you wouldn't be thinking about how long is this taking. You just wouldn't. You wouldn't care. You just know it's going to happen. But instead of this, what we do is we kind of say something and we kind of hope. Cross my fingers, hopefully it'll work. Well, see, there's no confidence in that, hey? That's a wishful thinking. There's no faith there. There's no like, no, I know. I know when I speak, you know. And, you know, I've seen this in my own, certainly in my life, but as I'm ministering to others, I'm finding a greater confidence. There's many, many times that I've seen, even the last 6 months, I'll pray for someone and I'll say, how is it? And they'll say, oh, it's a little bit better. And then I'll pray again because I know, you're going to listen to me. I'm speaking to that symptom. And stuff. Why? Because this truth that I have authority has grown in me. I ain't arrived, but I've been developing in this. And you can develop it in it as well. this area of confidence. You need to have confidence that what you say will come to pass. But rather than that, we just kind of have this wishful thinking, well, I hope it happens, like, I'm not sure, like, you know. And you may not say that with your words, but it's in your heart. That's what you're thinking. And so we struggle with seeing the situation we're in changing because we lack confidence in what we say. Have a look at Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 35. Are you getting something out of this morning?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Hebrews 10, verse 35. Give me an oi when you're there. So we're talking about having confidence in what you say. And it says in Hebrews 10, verse 35, cast not away your confidence, which has great reward, for you have need of endurance, so that after you've done the will of God, you may receive the promise. Now, this word confidence in Hebrews 10:35 in the original Greek is the word parasia. And I don't need to worry because your mum's not here. But that was all right? Okay, cool. Oh, you can tell her I said it right then. Parasia, and it means outspokenness. It means boldness of speech. This scripture is saying, don't cast away your boldness of speech. Don't cast away your outspokenness. God wants you to be bold in what you say. He wants you to make bold declarations. He wants you to nail your colors to the wall. Just like Nessie did when she said to the specialist, take a good look, because my God's going to do what you can't do. And she wasn't doing that to attack him, but she wanted a testimony. Hey, and she sat there then a number of months later, and he had to testify and say, well, I can't explain this. Something has happened. Cast not away your outspokenness. Cast not away your boldness of speech. This is the same word that appears in Acts 4:31. I'll just read it out to you. It says, when the believers had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. It's that same word, confidence. Parasia. Outspoken. Cast not away your outspokenness. You know, when you speak and you agree with the word and you believe it in your heart, your faith is working. You may not see anything, you may not feel anything, but if you refuse to let it go, it'll just keep working and working. The problem is too many people let it go. They won't stay with it. Jesus said that your faith is like a servant out on the field. And he said, how many of you, if you've got a servant out of the field, you'd call him in and say, come on, come and sit down, let me make you something to eat and stuff. I understand what that's like, because in India, as a child, I remember we had a number of servants. We had three that were living permanently on our property, and then we had several others that would come in and do other things. And so when I would read that, I would just laugh at it, because you just don't do that. If you've got a servant, they'll eat when they got time to eat. They're not slaves, but you've hired them and they're on call. And whatever you need, that's what they've got to do, whatever their job is. So just call. I can remember my servant's name. Kusilya and Kanya were the two that were looking after my brothers and myself. And we would just say, Kusilya, little five-year-old kid. Kusilya, I'm hungry. Get me something to eat. Of course, if my parents heard that, they would say, where's your manners? But if they weren't around, we'd just speak to our servants like that. And we were still learning and growing, hey? What am I trying to say? Your faith, Jesus said, is like a servant. Don't call your servant in. Let your servant work out there. Keep it working. You may not feel it. You may not see what's happening. But if you believe in your heart what God has promised you and you've spoken it out, you need to understand the moment you did that, your faith was released to bring it to pass. And if you don't call it back in, it will bring it to pass. There have been some things. I remember early on in my faith walk, there were things. It would take ages. I remember I had this blemish on my skin. It was just kind of like a spot probably that big. It was just here. It was a discoloration. And I remember I showed it to Joy and I said, what is this? And she said, that's like a fungal infection. She said, you can get stuff for that. And I thought, well, I thought it's not going to kill me. I thought, I'm going to use my faith. So anyway, I didn't really do too much about it. I just kind of ignored it. And it just kept growing and growing. And this is over a period of number of months. And so probably about a year later, it was almost half of my chest. It was like big. It was just a big discoloration. And I thought, no, I've got to really use my faith now. You know, it's faith is not just silently enduring. That's what I thought, you know, like, no, I'm a man. Just ignore this. That's not faith. Faith is speaking the desired result. And so I spoke to it and I said, oh, whatever you are, I curse you and I command you to wither up and die. And I command my skin to be perfect and unblemished. Well, the next day I got changed in front of the mirror and there's that thing. Still as big as ever. And it's like the devil was getting into my mind saying, nothing happened, nothing happened. I just ignored it. I said, no way. And I just pointed myself in the mirror. I said, you're healed. You're healed in the name of Jesus. Well, over the next week, didn't see anything. The next month, I didn't see anything. But what I did notice, though, is over the next month, it had stopped growing. But still, I couldn't see it shrinking. And that's what the devil always tries to find the negative, doesn't he? He's not going to say, oh, look at that, it's not growing anymore. But he'll say, oh, yeah, see, it's not shrinking, nothing's happening. But I thought, no, well, it's not growing, something's happening. So I stayed with it. Different times I'd look at it, I'd go, I'm not asking you, mirror. I know I'm healed. That thing is as good as gone as far as I'm concerned. There was no evidence that it had shrunk in any way, hey? And eventually, I just came to the place where it's just like, it was just a done deal. I was locked in. And it's like, I couldn't see it anymore. I don't know if you understand what I mean by that. It's just like, I just look at myself and it's just like, as far as I was concerned, that was done. And I don't know how long it was. I honestly don't. It could have been a month. It could have been 2 months. But I just remember the next time I looked, it was completely gone. But you know the reaction that I had? I didn't go like, wow, I don't believe that. Look at that. I just looked at it and I go, that's right. When you believe it, hey, and you expect it. When you speak and you believe what you say, your faith is released. Let it be. Let it be released. Let it continue to work. Oh, there's a lot more I can share. Maybe I'll talk a bit more about that next week because I want to round up. I want to minister to some people. But you know, the more you fixate on why you don't have something, the more elusive it becomes. Anybody ever notice that? How many times have you said to the kids, "We're going to go here," and they're looking at the watch like, "How long more? You know, are we there yet? Where is it? You know, like it's just like you sort of quickly learn as a parent, I'm not going to say anything till we're there. I won't tell them what we're going to do anymore. Because it just seems like it's just so long. The more you fixate on why you don't have something or how long it's taking, the longer it's going to take and the more elusive it seems to be. Hey, your faith is released by your words. Now, you guys understand that there are two types of people. There are glass half full and glass half empty types of people. Hey, you need to be a glass half full sort of person. You have to be. Some people are just natural optimists. I am a natural optimist. Hey, but some people are not. And that's harder work. But you need to change. You need to be a glass half full. Too many believers are looking for problems. They're fixated on problems. It could be all of these good things that are happening, but you ask them what's happening, and it's like they can't think of anything, but they can tell you all the problems. Oh, you want to know how my kids are? Let me tell you. But they couldn't list a single good thing that they're doing. You want to know how my job's going? How much time you got? And nothing they're going to tell you is good. What's the first thing that comes to your mind about your situation, about where you're at? For some people, it's like, I'm just so tired. You ask some people, how are you? I'm tired. How are you? I don't feel good. What's happening? I don't know. I don't know why my job hasn't come. Hey. What's been happening in your life? Well, why am I still struggling to sleep? I prayed about it. I asked God. I made my faith declaration. I've been standing for like 3.5 weeks now. What's going on? And your glass half empty. You know, you should be telling your body what to do, not your body telling you. So many people say, oh, well, you know, I can't stay up that late. You know, I can't do that. Well, the heat, you know, like I can't handle the heat. It's just too much for me. I remember this was an area that God just dealt with me just a couple of years ago. I was whinging one day. It was like gradually over a period of a couple of years, the heat was just really getting at me, eh? I remember I was just like, in my mind, I was just thinking like, man, I just 34 again today. Just looking forward to getting a cool change come through. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me and he said, why are you so upset? And I said, they forecast 34 again. And he said, it's just a number. I'd never thought of it like that. And he said, if you think that number's bigger than you, it'll have influence. He said, but it's just a number. And I said, yeah, but 27's a good number. He didn't say anything back to me, hey? But I had to change the way I thought, hey? And it's not like I enjoy like, oh, wow, great, 38 today, yes. But, you know, I noticed it started having less and less effect on my life. And I just began to go through the day. Whereas before, it became increasingly more and more of an issue. You'll never find in the Bible the words, I can't, related to a believer. You should not be allowing your body to dictate to you. So many people are glass half empty people. And the first thing that comes out of the mouth is the problems that are in there. I can't do that. I'm not able to do that. How are you? Oh, well, my back's still hurting. Yeah, but tell me what's going good in your life. There should be something. I'm not sure, you know. Be a glass half full. Look for the good things. Celebrate the good things. Be extravagant in that. You know, because it's death and life in the power of your tongue. You keep talking about the problems in your life, you're making them bigger and bigger and more of an issue. I remember, I'm going to finish with this, hey, this. But Kenneth Copeland shared something that, a couple of things that happened to him. One thing that I actually noticed that had happened to him, and another thing that I didn't know about. So what I did notice was, because I just really enjoy his preaching. I've just listened to it sometimes all day, all night. And I remember back in 2006, 2007, that I was listening to him minister, and I noticed he kind of like sometimes get lost. It's like he'd forgotten what he was going to say. And he'd kind of stop and then kind of brush it off and then just keep going. But because I'd spent so much time with him, I could notice it. I don't know if others noticed it, but I had spent so much time. I'd noticed 2006, 2007 started to happen more and more frequently. And I was thinking to myself, wow, that's kind of like almost like early signs of like forgetfulness or aging or something, you know? Anyway, the last probably 4 or 5 years, there is no evidence of that at all in him. None at all. But I remember 2006, and you can find, if you go into the archives and you can get preaching, if you listen to enough of it, you'll hear it, but it's not there anymore, hey? And he actually shared the testimony of what happened. He began to discover that he was starting to get kind of like signs of aging and that he was starting to forget things. So what did he do? For a lot of people say, well, you know, I guess that's what happens, you know, when you get this old. But no, you don't have to have it. You don't have to allow your body to tell you. You can tell your body. You are not your body. You are a spiritual being and you live in a body. So speak to your body. So that's what he started to do. He quietened himself. He spent time with God. God gave him some scriptures. He started to allow those things to inhabit his imagination until he could see himself sharp and quick, excellent memory recall. And he began to speak that over himself. And I don't know exactly when it happened, but I know because I've been to the minister's conference now for 5 years running, and he is sharp as a tack, and he is strong as I've ever seen him. I'm not sure how old is he. Is he 80? He runs around on the stage. Just amazing. And, you know, this is the other testimony that I wanted to share, that he did share after it happened, was in early 2000, I think it was 2001, 2002, he started to have some severe back pains, and eventually he got it checked out and they did some tests and they discovered that he had degenerative bone disease, I believe that's what they called it, in the spine. That's, as far as the doctors are concerned, that is incurable. There's no fixing that. It's a disease that attacks your bones and your bones gradually disintegrate. And so the prognosis was this is what you've got. You've got degenerative bone disease in your spine. Your spine is disintegrating. And he had the scans to show that his spine was breaking up at the lower part. And that's what was causing the immense pain. And there was nothing doctors could do. And that eventually it would just cripple him. He was almost in crippling pain, although no one knew it. He refused to allow that to stop him from ministering. He never missed a single meeting. But he shared, like after the journey, he shared what he was experiencing. There were times where he was in excruciating pain. But he would minister because that's what he was called to do. He wasn't called to go lie in a bed. He was called to minister. And he did that. And then he would finish his ministry and go home and he would just be just trying to find some way of staying comfortable. But he began to speak the word over himself. The same as what he did with his memory, speaking the word, finding what the word has to say, getting into agreement with that, allowing that to become bigger in his eyes of faith and bigger in his thought life until eventually he was consumed with that. And finally, it was over a period of time, he gradually got better and better and stronger and the pain became less and less until finally it was about 2 years later, they did a scan and he's actually shown, I'm not sure if it's on the website or not, but you can see the before and after. It's like he's got a brand new spine, completely healed, no evidence of any sort of degeneration. You can speak over your life. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. And what you say will alter the course of your life if you choose to believe what you say. Yes. Hallelujah.